Hashem. To read from the same passage of scripture from which Philip preached the good news of Jesus Christ to the man from Ethiopia. You'll find that in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, and it's chapter 53. This passage was written 700 years or so before the Lord Jesus came into the world, and it's a passage all about Jesus Christ, God's Son. Just going to read the chapter. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will apportion to him with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. May God bless his word. Now, what probably doesn't come across in the English language when you read this passage of Scripture, but what does come across in the original Hebrew, not that I can read the original Hebrew, is that this passage is actually a beautiful poem. It's a song. Now, we've sung many lovely hymns and songs this afternoon, and this is a beautiful song all about Jesus Christ. If you've got a Bible in front of you, there are actually 15 verses in this song. We didn't read the first three verses of the song. They are the last three verses of the previous chapter, chapter 52. But there are 15 verses and there are five stanzas of three verses each. And each stanza tells us something about Jesus Christ. And I just want to share with you some thoughts that this passage brings before us about Jesus Christ. I'm only going to speak for 10 minutes. The first stanza, the last three verses of chapter 52, which we didn't read, tell us what God thinks of him. What God thinks of Jesus Christ, his son. God, through the prophet, describes him, "Behold my servant. He shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted." This is what God thinks of Jesus Christ, his son. The prophet goes on to tell us that in a coming day, in the future, Jesus Christ will startle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him. This is what God thinks of Jesus Christ, his son. He is God's beloved son. He is his perfect Holy Son, he is also his perfect servant. The first stanza of the song. The second stanza of the song brings us to the first three verses of chapter 53. Now, if the first stanza tells us what God thinks of him, this stanza tells us what man thinks of him. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world to save his own people. He came to save the Jews, first and foremost. What did they think of him when they saw Jesus Christ? Verse 2 tells us, he had no form or majesty about him. They could see no beauty in him that they should desire him. There was absolutely nothing attractive about Jesus Christ to them. And in verse 3, twice over, we read the phrase, he was despised. Ultimately, he was rejected by his own people. They hid their faces from him. They wouldn't even look at him. They treated him as though he had a disfigurement. They treated him as though he were a leper, and they would not even look at him. We esteemed him not. That simply means that they didn't have a single good word or thought about Jesus Christ. This is what man thinks of Jesus Christ. What God thinks of him, he shall be high and lifted up, he shall be exalted. What man thinks of Jesus Christ, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. And by and large, people today still think the same about Jesus Christ. I remember a few years ago, the Scottish Humanist Society had an advertising campaign where they put billboards all across Scotland. And there was a strap line on the bottom of the billboard that said, 2 million Scots are good without God. 2 million Scots, that is 40% of the population. And they are in agreement with the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 53. We esteemed him not. They treat Jesus Christ as though he is nothing. They are not interested in Jesus Christ. They have no time for Jesus Christ. We do not need Jesus Christ. This is what man thinks of him. Now, the third stanza, verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 53, tell us what God did to him. Now, this takes us to the very heart of the gospel. This takes us to the very heart of the good news about Jesus Christ. What God did to him. This is the love of a holy God for sinners such as you and I. He, Jesus, was wounded. He was pierced for our transgressions, not for his, but for ours. He, Jesus, was bruised. The word literally means he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement or the penalty or the punishment that was required for guilty sinners such as you and I to have peace with God, that punishment was laid upon him. And with his wounds, with his stripe, the stroke of judgment against sin from God that fell upon him, with his stripe, we are healed. Those three words sum up the good news of Jesus Christ. We are healed. We can be cleansed from our sins. We can be forgiven. We can be made right with God, and all because of what God did to his own son on the cross at Calvary. Think about what God thinks of him. Now think about what God did to him. This is what God did to his own son. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Your sin, my sin. The fourth stanza, verses 7, 8, and 9. This is now not what God did to him. This is what men did to him. Four times over in these three verses, you have this little expression, he was. He was oppressed. It really means he was harassed. Thinking about, you know, the last 24 hours of the life of the Lord Jesus, before he hung upon that cross, he was harassed. They subjected him to mock trials, to six trials. He was taken from Ananias to Caiaphas, to the Sanhedrin, to Pilate, to Herod, to Pilate. He was moved from pillar to post. He was harassed. He was afflicted. This takes us to the very verse that Philip read to the man in his chariot in Acts chapter 8. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus went to the cross, putting up no resistance. He didn't put up any fight. He went willingly. He went voluntarily to lay down his life. You know, I remember speaking to a man who worked for a meat processing company. And this company is a large company. And during the course of its business, every day they would slaughter thousands and thousands of animals. Cows, cattle, pig, sheep, lambs. And I don't know how we got into the conversation, but he told me that pigs Pigs have a sense of their impending death. When they are led to slaughter, they will put up a struggle. They will put up an almighty fight. But a lamb, there is no resistance. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was taken from prison and judgment. It really means that the normal judicial process was set to one side. He was treated out with the law. The Jews just wanted rid of Jesus. They wanted him dead. He was cut off out of the land of the living. As a young man, in the prime of life, in his 30s, he died upon the cross. A violent, painful, shameful death. A death that was reserved for only the very worst of criminals. That was the death that Jesus Christ died. He was stricken for the transgression of my people. The final stanza in the song, verses 10, 11, and 12, really end on a note of triumph. It is the crescendo, the end of the song. Death was not the end for Jesus Christ. God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. But think about this today. As you've witnessed the baptism of Catherine, think about this. Think about what God thinks of him. Think about what man thinks of him. Think about what God did to him. Think about what men did to him. No wonder that Ethiopian man, as Philip explained and preached the good news about Jesus from this very passage, no wonder he came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is where it gets personal. You know what Catherine thinks of him. You've just seen her be baptized. What do you think of him? What do you think of Jesus Christ? What God did to him? What men did to him? And understand that it was out of love for your soul that Jesus Christ went to the cross and endured it all. In order that you might be saved, in order that you might have your sins forgiven and brought into a right relationship with God. And if you are prepared to repent and turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and give your life to Jesus Christ, then God will save you. He'll save you from hell. He'll save you from the power of sin in your life, and he will transform your life with his power. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. May God bless his word.